Among the delegations heading to Kiev this week, a team from the International Monetary Fund. Its task, to come up with a plan to help Ukraine's ailing economy. And Ukraine's interim government says it needs a lot of help. There are fears it will default on its debt, and that government pensions and state salaries could soon go unpaid. Joining us is Anders Åslund, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, you've advised the Ukrainian government in the past, and you know the country and its economy very well. Why is its economy such a mess?
It's basically quite easy. President Yanukovych was just impeached. He had one big interest as president, to enrich himself and his family as much as possible. So this was a larceny on a big scale, and he couldn't care less about the state of finances of the country or economic growth. Ukraine has stagnated for the last 2 years because the government was not interested in growth.
So give us some context. When we talk of the Ukrainian economy, what are we talking about? What does Ukraine make? What does it grow? What does it export?
Traditionally, Ukraine used to be an agricultural economy, and agriculture has in the last decade come back sharply. And agricultural produce is now one third of exports again. This is one of the big bread baskets of the world. And the Soviet old industry, the steel industry in eastern Ukraine, with also lots of mines, that's the old Soviet base of economy, and that it's now gradually declining. It's also about 30% of the exports.
So how important is Russia to the health of Ukraine's economy?
Russia takes about one quarter of Ukraine's exports. And Russia has a strong habit of cutting off its market from time to time to neighboring countries. The Baltic countries have experienced. Georgia and Moldova did so in 2006. What generally happens is that countries turn in the other direction when Russia closes its market.
And Anders Åslund, we hear a lot about the oligarchs, this group of powerful and wealthy businessmen who own many of the key industries in Ukraine. How much of the economy do they really control?
Well, they tend to control the big enterprises in metallurgy, mining, power and energy and chemicals. So these industries are pretty close to new, small and foreign companies.
Now, Ukraine's previous IMF loan was suspended because it failed to implement the required reforms. Talk a little bit more about why Ukraine has had such a hard time bringing its economy in line with Western norms.
Well, it's quite easy to understand if you all the time remember that the main purpose of this government was to enrich itself. And one of the big IMF demands was, as it always is, to keep the budget deficit under control. And Ukraine has a budget deficit now about 9% of GDP. It would need to be halved. It can't be maintained at that level. And also, most of the difference goes to corrupt subsidies, for example, to the gas industry and to the coal industry and to various old private industries. These subsidies have no social benefit whatsoever. Most of it should be abolished, and the rest should go to social benefits.
Is there any sense that the oligarchs might support these kind of reforms?
The oligarchs are like this. They are basically in favor of a normal economy. They want to legalize fortunes. But on the other hand, they don't want to be left behind if the reforms are not taking off. So these are people who are basically opportunistic. They see what game is being played. Is it the old game or is it the new game? If they are really convinced that it's a new normal game, then they would move towards it. So in public, they are always speaking for good economic reforms. But if they are not convinced, they won't play ball.
Anders Åslund, he's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.